Rajaratma Salimirite Kshanaha
Anantamaro Payadangamantakam
Anantamaro Payadangamantakam
Yathoragam Suttama Buddhi Rajyuri
Yathoragam Suttama Buddhi Rajyuri
Vibhudhyatam Balakama Balakamarikam Graham
Vibhudhyatam Balakamarikam Graham Charatma Sanimirite Kshanaha Anantamaropayadam Kamantakam
Yathoragam Suptama Buddhi Rajyuhi
Yathoragam Suptama Buddhi Rajyuhi. Anyone else? Vibhudya, understanding. Her putana. Balaka marika graham.
Balaka marika graham.
A witch very expert in killing small babies.
A witch very expert
in
killing small babies.
Chara achara atma.
Chara achara atma.
Krishna the all pervading super soul.
Krishna the all pervading super soul.
Saha
he
Nimilita Ikshana closed his eyes. Ananta, the unlimited. Aropayat, she placed
on her lap.
Antakam, for her own annihilation. Yata, as
Uragam,
a snake.
Suptam,
while sleeping.
Abudhi,
a person who has no intelligence. Vajudihi, one who thinks a snake to be a rope. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Lord Sri Krishna, the all-pervading super soul, lying on the bed, understood that Putana, a witch who was very expert in killing small children, had come to kill him. Therefore, as if afraid of her, Krishna closed his eyes. Thus, Putana took upon her lap him who was to be her own annihilation. Just as an unintelligent person places a sleeping snake on his lap, thinking the snake to be a rope. Purport. In this verse, there are two perplexities. When Krishna saw that Putana had come to kill him, he thought that since this woman was present with motherly affection, although artificial, he had to offer her a benediction. Therefore, he looked at her with a little perplexity and then closed his eyes again. Putana Rakshasi also was perplexed. She was not intelligent enough to understand that she was taking a sleeping snake on her lap. She thought the snake to be an ordinary rope. The two words antakam and anantam are contradictory. Because of not being intelligent, Putana thought that she could kill her antakam, the source of her annihilation. But because he is ananta, unlimited, no one can kill him. We have to put aside our material logical process. There is a transcendental logic that must be followed, otherwise we cannot understand what is happening here. By material calculations, everything is contradictory. You can ask many questions and be puzzled, and nobody can answer them. from the material point of view. How is it that the Supreme Lord is perplexed? How is it that this enemy of God, who is actually materially very intelligent, she possesses mystic powers, she can sense that this is a dangerous person, still she picks him up, as Mayapur Chandra was discussing yesterday. Very amazing. There is a higher logic at work here. And unless we can learn how to perceive that logic, we will not understand Krishna's pastimes. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tat vataha. Tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mamiti surajuna. If we can understand the special nature of Krishna's birth and his activities, then we won't have to take birth again, but we'll go to Krishna. Which part are you more interested in? Not taking birth or going to Krishna? You know, we're not so much interested. This is to entice the Gyanis. Something for everybody. But the Gyanis is a promise of not taking birth again. The materialists are not interested. They'd like to take birth, but a better birth. Or if they don't believe in rebirth, they just like to enjoy it while they can, depending on how materialistic and atheistic they are. But the Gyanis, they want mukti. And the devotees want to be with Krishna. So both are achieved by understanding the special nature of Krishna's birth and his activities. To understand this transcendental logic of how Krishna appears and how he acts. It's not to be understood, cannot be understood by our mundane reasoning, by the logic that they taught us in school. Of course, my son is going to a school where they teach the logic of how to cheat. Yeah, how to copy from someone else's exam and pass that way. You know, this is what they teach in some schools, is how to cheat. But some schools, they actually teach logic and they teach ethics, at least theoretically. But there's a different ethics and a different logic at work in the spiritual realm. How do we learn that? Okay, the statement is, you know, let's apply material logic. The statement is that if you know Krishna's birth and activities, you will get liberation and you'll go back to Krishna. Of course, you can argue as a logician that it doesn't necessarily mean the contrary, that it's the only way. It is one way, let's say logically. Maybe you can also get liberation without understanding Krishna's birth and activities. Maybe you can't go to Krishna in ignorance. Krishna can do anything. But there's no guarantee. And also, don't count on your material logic. There may be a material loophole, but it won't work. If you don't satisfy Krishna, if you don't satisfy Krishna's devotees, you won't have the intelligence to understand, to find him. How do we get any understanding of this transcendental logic? They won't teach it to you in the university. We can't teach it to you, even though we have what's supposed to be a devotional school. You can't find it in a book, this transcendental logic. It has to be awakened in the heart. Sevan mukhehi jivada atakshi krishna namadi. Everything about Krishna, his name and everything else, including especially his activities. Nobhave grahyam indriyai. Cannot be, it's not accessible to the material senses, including the mind and the intelligence. But sevon mukhe, keyword, sevon mukhe jivada. The same senses, beginning from the grossest sense, the tongue. Who has the best sense of taste? Who has the most powerful tongue? A dog. Now, so a dog is a person who knows through his tongue. The tongue is a gross sense. A sense of the pig and the dog, they rely on the sense of taste. But even beginning from that gross materialistic sense of taste, which is lobomoi sudurmati, very avaricious and impossible to control. The sense of avaricious demand for taste. If you engage that sense of taste in practice of devotional service, then you can awaken the sense of service, the attitude of service. You can begin by stuffing yourself with prasadam. And maybe hearing and saying something about Krishna, just for the fun of it. But that is the beginning of purification. What is crucial is sevon. Okay. One has to develop an attitude of service. It's a switch, a change of attitude. Pure devotional service, the change of heart. Prabhupada's title for, I think, chapter 4 of the second canto of the Bhagavatam. Change of heart, a change of attitude. From the attitude of exploitation, of defense and exploitation. Defense means don't let anybody exploit you. And exploit is what you do to everybody else. Use them for your selfish purposes. Your selfish purposes, according to who you are, may vary. But the general mode of behavior toward others, do unto others before they do unto you. Yeah. That's material life. That has to change. We have to instead develop an attitude of service. Of course, who do you serve? You serve God and you serve God's devotees. And the first of God's devotees for you is your spiritual master, your initiating spiritual master, and whatever other spiritual masters you have. And then other Vaishnavas. And then the rest of humanity. And then the whole of existence. In order. You know, not that we preach Madhava-seva, Madhava-seva. Service to mankind is really service to God. No, the other way around. First serve God. That's service to man. Mundane welfare work, building hospitals, and just like, I won't name what sampradaya it is, one of the four sampradayas, and they have one of their acharyas living here in Govardhan, young man, young acharya, grihasta, but he's the acharya. And they have their ashram very close behind the Bhaktivedanta ashram. They had a school. They tried to run a school. Donations were obtained, building was built, they ran a school, it ran for less than a year and shut down. I don't know why. Now they have another program. My son participated in yesterday. You go over there and they give you these blue septalin pills. I don't know why they're giving them to all the children. It's not really appropriate that everybody just takes septalin for no good reason. You know, but anyway, giving out, if you take two septalin pills and swallow them, they give you a ticket. And then you can get online with that ticket and they'll give you a big cup of ice cream. So this is their program. This is their preaching program. I don't know what's accomplished by it. You know, feed the children ice cream. And that's how they spread dharma. No, our program is to learn the transcendental logic by practicing service. We're not going to learn anything by perpetuating our material mode of behavior and attitude. We just continue the same old way of do unto others before they do unto you. We have to instead become servants of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. We have to want to do that. Nobody's going to force you. We can remain like we were always. In attitude, and just change externally. But the change of attitude is what's going to awaken or is going to inspire Krishna to want to bless us with that transcendental knowledge. Ananyas chintayanto mam. No, I'm sorry. How's it go? Tesham nityabhi yuknanam. No, not that one. No, I'm thinking of 9:10. Well, how does it go? Tesham satati yuknanam. Bhajatam, Priti Purvakam, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, Yena Mam Upayanti Te. Satata Yuktanam, Okay, we can start with the externals. Just be busy all the time for Krishna. No matter what insanity is going on in your head, no matter what blasphemy you're thinking inside, just keep your mouth shut, put some tape on your mouth, don't say it, and be busy in devotional service. Yeah. Don't offend anybody, just keep your mouth shut, and be busy serving. No matter what you're thinking, that'll work. Start with the externals. Jiva Adal. Disengage your tongue. If you have nothing good to say, keep your mouth shut. If you can say something good, fine. If you have a plate of prasadam in front of you, eat it. Otherwise, don't eat anything. Yeah. Simple. Simple program. Be careful what goes in and out of your tongue to start with, and your other senses. Be physically engaged in Krishna's service. You know, sleeping should be done at certain hours, not other hours. Unless you intend to have children, mating should not be done at all, and so on. There are other things you shouldn't be doing, and some things you should be doing. So physical external engagement. And the external activities of devotional service is the beginning. Satata yuktana, be constantly engaged, busy in Krishna's service. No matter how influenced by tamas your mind is, no matter how insane it might be, how disturbed it might be, that will be effective. Just be very busy for Krishna. Then your mind will calm down gradually. Then bhajatam priti purvakam. Then you can actually begin worshipping Krishna, doing something that pleases him. It pleases Krishna if an unruly person begins to become a little ruly. If a barbarian begins to become a civilized person, then Krishna is very pleased. Prabhupada once commented, I think in Los Angeles, that he, or someplace, and this is a hearsay, I don't know where it's written, or maybe it's not spurious, but anyway, Prabhupada commented that he saw Narada Muni coming to our kirtan to see. And the devotee asked Prabhupada, what is he doing? What was Narada? Did Narada say something or react? He said he was laughing. Laughing how these mlechas are singing and dancing very nicely. Yeah. So Krishna and Krishna's devotees are pleased if the barbarians begin to act a little civilized. But that's nice. But Krishna is thoroughly pleased when we actually do what actually pleases him. We perform actual devotional service. Not just stop doing sinful things. That's nice, and Krishna likes that. But to really please him, we have to do positive service. Do the things that he actually wants. Carry out his mission in this world. What excuse do we have to be living here? What excuse do we have to be in this world? How can we justify our continued existence here? Why don't we get out immediately? We can offer maybe, what can anybody do in the material world that can't be done better in the spiritual world? You want to cook for Krishna, but you can do that better in Vaikuntha or Goloka. You're in so much trouble to try to do a little cooking. And things don't come out right. Yeah. But in the spiritual world, Krishna's got the most expert cooks and everything is wonderful. So what does he need our cooking here for? You can do it better in the spiritual world. And think of any other service. Almost all of them can be done better in the spiritual world. So what excuse do we have for being here? There are only two things I can think of that can't be done better in the spiritual world, or can't be done at all in the spiritual world. And one is killing demons. There's no actual killing in the spiritual world. They can just pretend that the demons are coming and they're killing them. The Krishna's killing, but it doesn't actually happen. Only in the material world does Krishna actually fight with and kill the demons. And then similarly, it's preaching, killing the demoniac spirit. That only goes on. Real preaching only goes on in the material world because there's nobody in illusion in the spiritual world to preach to. There's no one to deliver. Everyone is saved. So unless you're engaged in killing demons for Krishna or preaching for Krishna, you have no excuse to be still here in the material world. There's no justification. So that's bhajanam. What activities actually please Krishna? Okay, you can cook for Krishna, you can perform arati, you can decorate him, and you can do service to the Vaishnavas. But what really satisfies Krishna is to carry out his particular mission for the material world, which can fall in these two categories, killing demons and preaching. So in Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has merged the two programs. His weapons have turned into the holy names. You know, Sudarshan Chakra, Gada are appearing as Krishna's names. And if Krishna were to go about either on himself or deputizing his devotees to go out and slaughter all the demons, it would be worse than what's going to happen when Kalki appears. It would be carnage all over, everywhere. Everybody would have to be killed. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decides, okay, this time I'm not going to physically kill anybody. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is choosing to be non-violent, which is not usually the mode of Lord Vishnu's appearance. He comes with his weapons and he uses them. Krishna used them plenty. Krishna killed plenty of demons. And the next avatar is going to kill even more. But this one, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, doesn't kill physically, literally kill anybody. So the two programs of killing demons and preaching are merged into one. We're trying to kill the demoniac spirit in everyone's heart by injecting Harinam, this weapon. Now, to cut off the head with the Sudarshan Chakra of their demoniac spirit. So, to really be engaged in the mission of the Lord, not just stop being a demon yourself, be a little civilized, that's nice, and not just do the formalities of devotional service, because they're done better in Vaikuntha, but to please Krishna in his particular mission for the material world, which is participating in the preaching work. In some roles, according to whatever our actual capacity is. We should think of ourselves as members of a movement. We could say army, but let's not bring in that metaphor. You know, a movement, voluntary movement, cooperative movement. Soviet of cooperative workers. Volunteer movement, but working together to carry out a preaching mission. Srila Prabhupada's individual, personal preaching mission. He's got his plan for preaching. Someone else, other Babaji, Acharya, Sannyasi, they may have others, other Vaishnavas have their preaching missions. Prabhupada has his. It's a big mission. It's save the whole world. Spread Krishna consciousness all over the world and give them pure Krishna consciousness and organize it. Give them an organized Daivi Varnashram society that will give them the infrastructure, the support, so that everybody, not just a few people, can engage in Krishna's pure devotional service. This is something of an idea of what Prabhupada's mission is, a big mission. We're small people, but we can participate in our own small ways. This is more like what Krishna means when he says bhajatam, priti purvakam. Actually worshipping me with love. It's not that it's better worship of Krishna with love to drop the preaching and run to Radha Kunda. And take off your shoes and, you know, because you're not supposed to wear shoes in Radha Kunda. And perform nirjana bhajana. Not recommended. For us. Recommended for us is to work according to our ability to help the preaching mission. We're members of a movement. Working together, Sankirtana, glorifying Krishna cooperatively. This is, at least I think, is the concept of how we're meant to worship Krishna, according to Prabhupada's personal vision. Bhajatam priti purvakam. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yema uri mama puyanti te. Those who actually worship me with love. Love can conquer Krishna. Formalities don't impress him very much. Everyone's worshiping him formally, externally, going through all the motions. But when someone has love, that love conquers Krishna. Krishna akarshani chasa. Prema bhakti has a special potency to attract Krishna and bring him under control. And prema bhakti for us is to be found in participating with Prabhupada, in fulfilling Prabhupada's mission. When we satisfy Prabhupada, that's our best chance to get blessed with something that may turn into prema bhakti. Not by running away from Prabhupada's mission or neglecting it or denying it. Okay, are there any questions or comments? Yes, Navakishore Prabhu.
There is no doubt that Srila Prabhupada's just be preaching.
Yes.
And also sometimes we see that he expresses like another side or aspect of devotional service, saying
yes.
That first you have to save yourself, or once there was darshan at the conversation, he was asking what's the most important, and also answering distributing books or preaching, and seems like Prabhupada want to hear something else, and then at the end he added that you should understand that you are eternal. So could you elaborate what Srila Prabhupada meant with side by side with this preaching, so that it seemed that many times he gave importance to the own development, which is a kind of supporting preaching or be different from preaching or the preaching itself. So.
Well, what is the preaching? What is preaching? Preaching, you know, we borrow this term from Christianity. We don't want to just use it blindly without understanding what we mean by it. It doesn't mean standing on the corner and screaming at everybody that they're going to go to hell unless they surrender to Jesus. No. We mean something different by preaching. We mean to awaken interest in serving Krishna, to educate people in understanding of their spiritual identities and the importance of engaging in Krishna's service. That's the purpose of preaching. And and if they're engaged in simple activities, we encourage them to stop that. You know, this is our, for us, preaching is spiritual education, not just hell and brimstone agitation, but to educate people. So, the question is, it seems like Prabhupada is promoting two different things. And what really is, which one is important? Both. Preaching it means to awaken, to begin, to help other people begin the process of pure devotional service. But that means that it's a means to an end. The end is the process of pure devotional service. Pure devotion, love of Krishna, is the real goal. And preaching is an end to that means. If we were living in Vaikuntha and surrounded by people who all loved Krishna, we'd have no need to preach. We can encourage each other by talking about Krishna, but that's not preaching, that's just sankirtana. Preaching means to enlighten the ignorant. If just nobody's ignorant, there's no need to preach. Just like if everybody has as much money as he wants, there's no need to study economics. If everybody can pick, an infinite amount of money just off the trees, nobody has less money than he wants, then there's no need to worry about economic problems. Economy is a concern when there isn't enough for everybody. Similarly, preaching is only of interest when there's lack of Krishna consciousness. If everybody's fully Krishna conscious, no need to preach. The goal is Krishna consciousness. Preaching is the means. So the answer to what's the real goal is to become fully surrendered, loving servant of Krishna. That's the goal, and preaching is a means toward it. But it's practical to understand, important to understand, you can't preach unless you're in minimal Krishna consciousness, unless you're in good condition. Even a neophyte, but you have to be relatively out of maya. You have to be following the principles and empowered. by the order of your guru and be able to carry out that order. If you're not following chanting and following the regulative principles, at least externally, avoiding the gross sinful activity, you can't preach. You will not have the power. So yes, we have to first become a little Krishna conscious, then preach. But not that you have to become fully Krishna conscious, become a Paramahamsa before you can start preaching. Someone else may say that. Prabhupada's, not that he said you have to prepare 12 years, 20 years, 50 years before you can do any preaching. He gave us maybe 2 weeks. Start chanting Hare Krishna and 2 weeks later go out and preach. Or even the same day sometimes. You got a little time to prepare. And there are standards that you do have to be in fit condition to go and preach. But you don't have to become a Paramahamsa first. This is our basic program for everybody. We can take, Prabhupada did it. He took people right off the street, cleaned them up a little bit, and sent them out to preach. So that's Prabhupada's side. We can be a little more cautious. We can take a few weeks to train people up. Yes, I agree with
that. Because you told that there is no preaching program in the spiritual world.
Okay, go ahead.
There is no preaching program in the spiritual world.
Yes.
And also not demand killing.
Yes.
So there is similarly the Krishna's Janmalila also there.
I don't know. I've heard that somebody said Krishna doesn't. There's no Janma Leela, no infancy pastimes of Krishna in the spiritual world. But I never saw that in any book. Such a statement. I don't know where that idea comes from. It seems pretty straightforward that what Shukadeva Goswami is describing in these chapters of the 10th canto are the eternal pastimes of Krishna. They're being enacted here on the earth, but they're all activities that go on in the spiritual world. Otherwise, what you're saying is that if there's no birth and child or infancy in the spiritual world, then everything that's being described in these early chapters of the 10th canto, everything that we've read so far, up to chapters 9, 10, those chapters, doesn't happen in the spiritual world. I don't see any statement in the Shastra or anything that Prabhupada said that indicates that. So, I can't accept it unless you can show me, on what authority that there's no birth of Krishna in the spiritual world and no infant activity, infant pastimes.
Also, the people say that there is also a Navadvip Leela in the spiritual world. So, when the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared here, he just wanted to fulfill his three desires, preaching to saving the...
There is no... Yes? Yes?
To preach here, and when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, his desire was to preaching.
But you said no, there are no Navadvip pastimes in the spiritual world?
No, there is Navadvip pastimes.
Yes.
But when the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed his pastimes in the spiritual world,
yes.
So he also proposed to preach there? No.
Well, I'm not preaching the way preaching in the strict sense of enlightening the ignorant, because nobody's ignorant. Sankirtan is performed not only for the enlightenment of neophytes, it's also the Paramahamsas get together and do Sankirtan for enjoyment and for pleasing Krishna. You don't have to be ignorant to perform Sankirtan. But properly speaking, preaching is to enlighten the ignorant. So by definition, there's no preaching in the spiritual world, by that definition. Okay, but there is some kirtan. Okay. Bharat Mahandra?
The question of Hayagriva Prabhu. I think
yes.
Mr. Kapoor is quoting those 5 points
yes.
which are absent in Krishna's eternal Leela and which are manifest here in this world.
Yes.
I think the general Leela is. I think he's quoting Jiva Goswami. I'm not quite sure because I read the book a long time ago. But that point is definitely mentioned there.
Okay. I don't think it's in the Sandarbhas. Yes. Much ever to who has something.
I think this point came up in class about not Prabhupada was the question. And we were looking throughout the different books of the Acharyas, but we didn't directly find everything that said that there was no child pastimes or Jamna Leela. Jiva Goswami in the Krishna Sandarbha said that that all the forms of the Lord are there, the Balaya form, the Bala form,
The three Vayas, three ages of Krishna are there.
Are present in the spiritual world, he says, particularly in the Loka.
Yes.
And, but he says the Kaishore one is prominent, but the other ones are still there.
Okay, the other ones are still there, including his infancy.
Yeah.
So, and there's no statement that you found that there's no Janma Leela and Kamara Leela.
Well, I was looking at the question then was that there was no childhood pastime, so I was looking for the childhood pastime. I didn't look for the Janma Leela.
Yeah. Okay, but you didn't see
I
that.
I didn't see anything.
Didn't see. Yeah. Then someone should present, you want to argue that there's no to show. So where's the evidence? Yes.
You saw you're speaking about at the beginning of the class in terms of transcendental logic. So if Krishna is the Vishaya of all the rasas, there must be Kavalila, because there are the people in Vatsali Ras.
Yes. It's not that, well, okay. Krishna manages to reciprocate with all rasas in the spiritual world. Even if there's no demons to kill, he simulates the situation so the rasa can be enjoyed, the rasa of fighting with demons. All these rasas, including the minor ones, are represented in the spiritual world, of course. Someone could argue, it'd be far-fetched, that similarly, just like there's no demons, but they pretend the demons. So Krishna's never a baby, but somehow his parents pretend that he was a baby. You know, looking at a photograph of Krishna as a baby, he never was. No, but they got in the market the picture of Krishna as Makanchura. Krishna never was a Makanchura in Goloka, but you know they got a picture imported from Govardhan, yeah. And they look at it and think about it. No, you could argue like that, but that would be far fetched. Yeah. Yes,
Can you say that in the spiritual world because it's a realm of you could say subjective idealism, when everyone sees Krishna in the way they want to see him, if he wants to see him. And Krishna really becomes the way he's perceived by his devotees. So it's just the bhava, the mood of devotee, which actually shapes Krishna according to what he wants to see him. And like Mother Yashoda, when she came to order the Devaki, when she saw Krishna already grown up, and she was so much overwhelmed with maternal affection, actually breast. Milk started pouring from her breast, although he was a grown up man at the time. So it doesn't mean that maybe he didn't, like, he doesn't ontologically take birth there, like he did here in this world. But the mood that he is born and the mood that he is performing childhood pastimes is there all the time. And it's actually objective because it's not just an illusion or hallucination or something.
Okay, that's possible that if we presume or if we find a statement that we can't deny in Shastra from an Acharya that there are no birth and childhood pastimes. Yeah, we can say the bhava is there. But actually, yes, as you say, it's subjective idealism. What do you say? Subjective
idealism.
Well, I think what that means is that the bhava creates the reality.
Yeah.
The base of reality is the ecstasy.
Yes.
Just like what produces your spiritual body? It's not produced by genetic code. It's not some spiritual DNA, like in the material world. It's not a mechanical thing. It's created by your bhava. Your bhava manifests, and your body, spiritual body, manifests to reflect the bhava. It's produced by bhava, by the ecstasy, the body that you that you show. But bhava is not whim. It's not just the whim of the individual jiva. Bhava is put in us by the bhakti shakti. It's actually not under our control. We become participants in that ecstasy, in that loving attitude and feeling. But it's something bigger than us. It's not just a thought that we manipulate in our own head. So, okay, bhava, everything's controlled by bhava, but bhava is something beyond our control.
But what comes first, our desire to serve Krishna in a particular way, or Bhava assigns us different roles and then we desire them?
The Bhava is eternal. Our Sarupa is eternal, our identity. And what defines our identity is our particular Bhava, our ecstatic attitude. That's eternal. It may be shut off temporarily, suspended because we didn't pay our bill. You know. But it's there, and it's eternal. And that's the basis of everything. That's what defines who we are and what we do and what we think. That comes first. Everything else is a reaction or an effect of our transcendental attitude. That's transcendental logic. That what, you know, everything is caused by loving ecstasy. You know, that's the first law of spiritual physics.
So that means that Krishna does become the way you want to see him. But it's not
what, yeah, but it's not just it's what you want. You're programmed to want it.
Like we want.
You know, the yoga maya as the agent of bhakti, as the expansion of bhakti, is implanting. You know, you got electrodes planted in your head, and you're being inspired to feel like that. It's not just a whim. You know, you just freely choose at random to feel like that. You're programmed to feel like that. It's bigger than we are. Which is good. It means we can't mess it up. Like we mess up everything in our own lives. We're, you know, in spiritual, I'm sorry, give me a second. We're participating in something much bigger than us when we're participating in Krishna's Leela. And we don't even have the power to mess it up. Yes? Maya Purchandra?
The statement for the Navadvipa pastimes is that there's different neighborhoods.
Yes.
It would be more logical than some fantasy that devotees, Krishna is going out in the forest, but Mother Yashoda is fantasizing that Krishna was just born, basically is what's being proposed.
Yeah.
It's more logical if there's different neighborhoods. There's a neighborhood where he's a child, there's a neighborhood where he's a little older, rather than, it's this whole speculation, which is basically what's happening, it's built out of the speculation.
Yes.
It's more logical that there's different neighborhoods, not that the boys are fantasizing that Krishna's with them and they're in the forest, and the gopis are fantasizing their thing, and Mother Yashoda's fantasizing her thing, all because of their own mood.
Yeah, that would be like a solipsism. Everyone's living in a bubble of his own.
That's weird.
Fantasizing his reality.
Yeah, that's too weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a public reality, shared reality.
Yeah.
That's what a neighborhood means,
yeah.
Where you're living in the same place with your neighbors. Not everybody just inside their own head. Yeah. Yes, of course. It's a community, and it's a shared reality, not just, you know, everyone's his own reality. Maybe I'm the only one who exists. Yeah. Mark, would you tell me?
I was just thinking that when Jay and Vijay, they said that they committed more than one offense, one to Lakshmi Devi. When she wanted to visit Narayan once,
yeah.
And the other time the four Kumaras.
Yes.
And but how did they develop such a mood?
In the first place?
Yeah, because they're the wife of that.
I don't know. I don't think we're given the answer to that. One hint is that there's a hint. It's not maybe not the whole answer. It's one way to look at it, is that Krishna wanted this to happen. You know, this whole string of pastimes requires that these two gatekeepers get into trouble. So Krishna wanted them to. But also, there was something in them too. It's not all just black and white. And so it's not easy to answer, but part of it, partial answer, is that it was Krishna's desire that they fall down. That they develop some bad feeling in their heart toward Lakshmi, and that led to further trouble. Otherwise, why would a Vaikuntha person do that? One peculiarity of the pastime is that Lord Nrsimha appears in every manvantara, but this falling down can't happen over and over again. How many times can you fall down from Vaikuntha? Every manvantara? So for Jaya Vijaya, Jiva Goswami does point out in the Bhakti Sandarbha that only happens once. In the other appearances of Nrisimhadeva, some other arrangements made. Jayan Vijay don't fall down repeatedly. That's ridiculous. So it has something to do with them too. It's not just Krishna wanted it and therefore it happened. But that's part of the answer.
Just regarding this question, that I read in Madhurya Kadambini that the reason why they have developed such a, an inimical attitude towards the Lord was their own desire, because it is quoted their prayer that they told, "O Lord, we can see, we can't bear see." That you are not fulfilling all your desires, because we feel that you have desire to fight. So please make ourselves in averse to you, so that we can give you such a pleasure of fighting.
Yes, that's a good part of it too. Yes.
So Vishnu Chakravarti told us that it was a personal desire born out of prema.
Yes.
The reason of their animosity.
Yes.
So this I just remember.
That is. And that goes together. That they want it because Krishna wants it. They want to fulfill Krishna's desire, so therefore they're begging Krishna, please let us be your instruments.
It's on another subject.
Okay.
If anybody has any questions.
No, we can move on.
I will take
them. Okay. One. Okay. Now, okay, we have three. Now you gotta wait for your turn.
But I won't ask my question.
Okay, ask your question first. You gotta go?
I can ask you another time.
You can ask right now if you have a minute.
Okay. sorry. You were talking about preparation and preaching.
Yes.
So we can see also that Prabhupada also took some time to prepare before his trip. So I'm trying to understand the proper balance of preparation.
It depends on the individual case. It depends what Krishna wants. I don't think Prabhupada was postponed from preaching, from being able to really preach, because he wasn't ready. I think the time, this was the time it was supposed to happen. And so Prabhupada was put on hold until the time was right. I don't think it was because he wasn't ready. It has to do with Krishna's plan. Krishna wants certain things to happen at certain times. And that requires sometimes, being in a holding pattern for some time before it's the right time. It's all individual circumstance.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
I can just...
Yes.
I think Prabhupada was preaching even before. You say he started in India here.
He was preaching up the storm, just wasn't getting results.
Yeah. He got one
He had a disciple. He had a few disciples.
League of Devotees?
Yes.
Association League of Devotees?
Yeah, he was preaching. He was doing everything he could to preach. But it didn't take off the ground. It didn't get good results. Until it was time to happen. Everything happens in its own time. And that's just Krishna's plan. We don't have the intelligence to figure out when Krishna, in our own cases, we don't know when Krishna is going to empower us to succeed. That's up to him. When are we going to be able to see Radha Krishna? That's not for us to decide. When are we ever going to be successful in our endeavors? That's not for us to decide. Krishna has his own calendar, and we don't know what's on it. When am I going to die? I don't know. All these questions can't be answered. It's just Krishna knows the time, and I don't. Okay, Bartram and then Venugopal.
This is again back to that, that Krishna is present only in a particular age and it depends, it's subject to whether or what. So if that's the explanation, then it can be explained in other cases, like when Krishna, if it's said that he is in Kishore age, then everybody else are seeing him and then they can perceive him to be whatever they like.
But we're not accepting that proposal yet.
In case it's accepted.
Okay.
But even in case it's accepted, there is one division which is not attended. That's the calves. So the calves. So they
Karu.
Karu.
the calves, so they are not able to perceive him differently, because either they attended or not attended. It cannot happen that the cows whom are attending, they become cows and they begin to see Krishna on this one. So even this objective phase cannot explain the unattendedness of the cows.
Yes.
So the cows will remain eternally unattended if Krishna is like that.
Right. And that wouldn't be good. Right, so yeah, that's a good argument.
Regarding appraising expression word, means that Pramosh Prabhu was very successful in preaching in the airports.
Yes.
He was speaking with Prabhupada and he asked Prabhupada in Bhagavatam, there is an instance where airplanes are sent from Vaikuntha to take up devotees to go there. So he asked Prabhupada, if airplanes are there, is there an airport in Vaikuntha also?
Airport.
Airport. Yes. So Prabhupada said yes, and then he asked, if there is airports, can we distribute your books there? Prabhupada said, why not? So if the books are, Prabhupada's books are distributed in Vaikuntha also, that
yes.
means still there are, I mean...
That doesn't mean that people are ignorant. Even Paramahamsas are happy to read Prabhupada's books. Yeah, so even Vaikuntha, I'm sure they're glad to have them if someone will distribute them.
So they say promoted to...
And they can pay good prices for them.
So they'll be promoted to Goro Vrindavan after reading Prabhupada's books in Vaikuntha?
Could be. Yes. Might get in trouble with the local authorities. Yes? Yes. Anyway, you can make some plans for that. next time I come to Ekadasi, you can get some devotees snuck in. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Sorry, going back to the same point that Nityananda was making about Madhurya Kadambini. By extending that same logic, one could argue that, you know, all the jivas on this planet have ultimately come here to satisfy Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire that he wanted to preach and take people back.
Yeah, and nobody's in Maya. You know, it's just like, it's all Krishna's plan that we're all in Maya. We don't want to go that far. Yeah, no, it's our own fault we're in Maya. It's not just, you know, not my Maya is, don't, we shouldn't interpret my own illusion to be Krishna's Leela. It's not just that Krishna wants us. Does Krishna want anybody to be in the material world? He wants to get everybody out. You know, we have a particular siddhanta that it's our own responsibility, it's our own fault that we're an illusion. It's not just Krishna. This is not another kind of Krishna's Leela. This is our own perverted Leela that we are trying to enact in the material world. And it's our fault we're suffering. If we blame it on Krishna, then we have no reason to want to rectify ourselves. Krishna should rectify himself if he did this to us. You know, so it's not our philosophy that our being an illusion is just Krishna's choice. It's our wrong choice that we're here, not Krishna's. Do we agree with that?
Some people go as far as saying that I don't want to go back to Krishna, to that Krishna who I could leave, actually.
Yes.
It's his fault.
And that Krishna put me here. You know.
Because he's not so attractive, so why should I go back to him? I don't want to go to such a Krishna who I could leave. I couldn't.
Really?
Yeah.
From devotees?
Well, yeah.
There was some.
I don't want to go back to Gaudiya because I could fall down again.
No. If you take the argument that reverse Krishna originally and left him, I don't want to go to this because you could leave him. That's an argument against the fault theory or something.
He can leave you. This is what happens to, you know, Krishna goes away and leaves you in separation. But if you want to deal with Krishna, you got to take that risk. Yes?
Not to perpetuate that topic about subjective idealism, because there are different points which I want to discuss, and for my own sake.
Yes, please.
Maybe not now, maybe we could just discuss a bit later. But one thing I wanted to ask you about Krishna, I heard one senior devotee that's quoting Srila Jiva Goswami saying that in this Kali Yuga, no one can become, I don't remember exactly the term he used, maybe Paramahamsa or something like Mukta.
No one can become.
Except by Krishna.
By
preaching.
By preaching.
Yes. So I just wonder if you have
Did Prabhupada say that?
No, there's one devotee who studies Sandarbhas and he quoted Jiva Goswami saying
that. Jiva Goswami saying that?
Yeah, I just want to confirm with you.
I don't remember such a statement.
About the Sandarbhas he said.
That without preaching you can't become perfect.
Without preaching, in this age of Kali, one cannot become perfectly.
Okay, I'm not denying it, but I don't remember ever seeing that. I don't remember hearing that from Prabhupada.
Yes,
such a categorical statement. I don't know. Maybe.
Yes, I know Shokrabu's question about how preaching and personal practice go together.
I mean, what I understand is that we're getting everything we got from Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's program is preaching. It's not that there's no other way to go to Krishna except for preaching. As far as I understand. But if such a statement is there, you can show it to me from Prabhupada or in some book, but I don't know it.
I think it's also echoed by Prabhupada's own statement in the fifth shloka. Upadeshanuta Varadhi defines Nuttamadhikari all the time as somebody who does engage in Krishna. And he said that he should be considered Nuttamadhikari.
Where?
In the fifth shloka of Upadeshanuta. It's
perfect. Upadeshanuta? Yes.
I just want to confirm the statement, that's all.
I can't confirm it because I don't know it. I'd be curious to see it. As far as the fifth shloka, how the fifth verse is explained by Prabhupada to mean, what is it? Bhajana vigyam ananyam anyadi shunyam, aninindadi shunyam, a person who's a Paramahamsa, who is exclusively devoted to Krishna. And has no trace of envy or any bad feelings toward anybody. Such a Paramahamsa, but does Prabhupada, that doesn't say in the verse, but does Prabhupada say in the purport that he had to reach such a platform, you have to preach?
He does define Uttamadhikari. He says that someone should be considered an Uttamadhikari and should be taken shelter of, and should be received initiation from, and should. One should give all. His life possession with a person, if he engages preaching, thinks about.
Well, that's the contrary. That a real preacher is an Uttamadhikari, but it doesn't mean that an Uttamadhikari has to be a preacher. That's an opposite. That's a contrary statement. That's the opposite logic. A implies B doesn't necessarily mean that B implies A.
But probably he just gives a practical definition. But unless we know how to find an Uttamadhikari, we won't be able to find him.
That's it.
Descends to that level.
We know. That someone who is fully engaged in preaching is very dear to Krishna. Someone else might be dear to Krishna, but we don't know how to identify him.
Yeah.
Still, it doesn't mean that nobody else can be dear to Krishna except for a preacher. If we are too fanatic about that, we might offend someone who's not preaching but is dear to Krishna. There might be such a person. And you might see him walking down the street around here. So we have to be careful, not to be too fanatic. Yes.
I think maybe regarding this, their example, even Gaudiya Math and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they accepted the Vamsidas Babaji like Paramahamsa and Gaudiya Babaji, but they were more like engaged like Bhajanandi, not like.
Well, Gaudiya Shodas Babaji did quite a bit of preaching to the people he chose to preach to. I don't know about Vamsidas Babaji, what kind of preaching he did. But not that Babaji's never do any preaching.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am?
Someone that purity can also preach very dynamically through the acha.
Yes.
Just by the living.
Okay, so just by living as a Vaishnava, that's preaching also. So how can you say that, you can say like that, a Paramahamsa preaches just by being a Paramahamsa.
It probably depends on how we define preaching, because if you define preaching as active endeavors, collective and things like that, preaching to different books, then that's a narrow definition, but if Krishna is defined as any behavior of a person which brings everybody else closer to Krishna, either by one step or by two steps, his deliberate behavior, that would be a good definition of Krishna. And by that, Babaji and Karukishwara.
Okay, and there's no great harm in expanding the definition so that even persons outside of ISKCON, even people who aren't doing preaching our way, they can also be fit in a acceptable, as actual doing some preaching. That's fine. But we belong to Prabhupada, so we should preach his way. Not that someone else who doesn't belong to Prabhupada isn't allowed to do it some other way.
And Prabhupada says if
yes.
They speak the words in Upadesa, the Uttam Adhikari sometimes he come to the second class platform and he wants to preach. For the preaching purpose.
You have to come to the second class platform. I don't think, okay, this, you know, statement is there. Prabhupada does say that to preach, an Uttam Adhikari has to come down to the second class platform. This is my interpretation of it. I don't think that means that he has to lower his consciousness, you know, and give up the Krishna consciousness he had, and become less advanced. You know. He has to commit a few offenses to come down. Yeah. That's a good way to come down. You just commit Namaparad, and Paramahamsa will become Majjhima, and Majjhima will become Kanishka, Kanishka will be out of business. You know. All you have to do is commit aparads. But I don't think that's what we're talking about. We're talking about acting like. The person who remains in his Paramahamsa consciousness, but externally, he behaves like as a Madhyamadhikari would. Because a Paramahamsa, it's not his activity to be making distinctions. But in his transcendental consciousness, he can function on a lower level. It's not a lowering of consciousness. Yes.
Prabhupada also says that the Uttama, just by his presence, people chant the holy names. So that's a pretty amazing level of preaching.
Yes.
By his very presence, people change.
One pure devotee can transform the whole world. And it doesn't mean that he's, killing himself, flying from city to city all over the world. He can sit in one place and transform the whole world. Vyasadev didn't do much traveling. Sat in his cave most of the time. You know, hid out in his cave. Once in a while, he came down to Hastinapur to meet the Pandavas. A few times. You know. Otherwise, he stayed up in his ashram, but he changed the world by his literary contribution. So you don't have to run all over the place. Yes?
I think it's important to mention, you know, we're in a very scholarly group. I think it's extremely important to mention that for such a scholarly group, it's good to stay a little bit grounded and remember the actual advancement comes from chanting the holy names under the direction of Srila Prabhupada, and then understanding comes. Not that we get understanding so that we can chant the holy names, and then by logic we'll be able to figure out the holy names and figure out Krishna. A very important point when we're being scholars and with the highly intelligent class of people is to remember that actual realization will come by chanting under the direction of Guru, and then the doubts and questions that we have will become clear. Not that we can figure it out.
Yes.
I think it's a tendency that the very scholarly types, people with some good intelligence, sometimes might kind of veer towards trying to figure things out because generally they can figure most anything out. But we cannot figure Krishna out.
They think they can figure everything out.
Right. Well, I don't know how to say that. So that's really...
That's tending toward being like a gyani.
Yes.
And then that's veering off the side of the road and you can go into a ditch. Also, in addition to that, scholarship in itself is not necessarily devotion service. If it's not doing what Prabhupada needs and wants, then it's not service. Even if you've got your nose in the books and it's the authorized books and you're learning them nicely, but if Prabhupada doesn't want you to do it, then it's not service. If you're not doing what Prabhupada wants, then it's not service, no matter what it is. Even if it's Jiva Goswami Sandarbhas and you're very proficient in it. We've got to be really careful in this line of work to make sure we're doing what Prabhupada wants and not to deviate by simply doing something that Prabhupada doesn't want. As soon as you do that, then you're deviating, no matter what your activity is. You know, you're going straight forward, but the road is turning. You got to follow the road. You know, you can say, well, I was driving straight. Yeah, but the road turned. Yeah. You got to follow the road. You got to follow Prabhupada's lead. Yes?
This morning we were reading in the that little Vrindavan book, Vrindavan As It Is.
Yes.
Real nice little book. There's a whole bunch of quotes about Vrindavan.
Yes.
That I gathered, like, probably from Folio or something.
Yes.
And Srila Prabhupada so often comments and says very directly how becoming a pure devotee is not dependent on being expert in Vedic literatures.
Yes.
But being a pure devotee is completely and solely dependent on the mercy of a Vaishnava.
Yes.
And that's yes. really the point.
Yes. How are you going to get that mercy?
The Vaishnava wants.
Yeah, satisfy him. So we got to be aware of what Prabhupada wants and what, and there's some things he doesn't want too. We have to be aware of them. Okay, we'll stop now. Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.